Blog Talk. Here on April 14th, 2010. Now, let me ask you something. Do you remember Jeff Davidson? Jeff P. Davidson? Jeff Davidson, who I told you about last week? He's a self-help author who threatened to sue me because in December 2007, somebody, the money, honey, she copied some paragraph headings from another website and posted them on my group blog. And it turns out this stuff came from one of Jeff's articles. She posted a link back to the original site, and his name wasn't on the article she quoted, but that didn't stop him from going Rangies on me. Rangies. You know what Rangies means? A friend of mine used to be a counselor at a children's camp, and Rangies is what they called it when one of the kids went berserk and they had to hold him down. You know? Anyway, I warned this guy's intern that she shouldn't send me his nasty letters because I was going to publish her email with her name on it. Jeez, I said that the wrong way. I told her I would publish her email and I would include her name because it was all over that email. But you know what? She didn't take that opportunity to apologize to me. Instead, she sicked him on me and he sent me another email with more threats to sue me if I publish the original letter. So I told him, look, Jeff, I won't publish that original letter if you promise to take a different approach to your problems in the future. No hostile threats right off the bat. So you know what he said? He said, don't you lecture me. So I published. And now he leaves me a voicemail complaining that my response to his threats was disproportionate. Disproportionate. And why's that? Because when I got these threats from the intern and from him, I asked people on Twitter. I asked people on Twitter what they thought, and I mentioned his name. And I mentioned her name, and now when you search her name on Google, that's what shows up. And then my blog posting was picked up by a number of feeds I never heard of, and they appear under her name as well. So in that voicemail yesterday, Jeff started playing the psychologist. He says that his email obviously set off alarm bells in my mind related to my childhood when I was in a school full of bullies. So you know what that means? He's saying he attacked me, but my emotional response was irrational. And he attacked me, but my self-defense is overkill. You know? And then he goes on crying about the intern. He says he cares about her like she was his own child, and I'm wrecking her career. But you know what it looks like to me? First he puts her on the firing line doing his dirty work, and now that the bully is on the run, he's using her as a human shield. Now, any normal person might ask Jeff for an apology, but how can I ask him for an apology when he keeps telling me I'm the aggressor and he's the victim? You know, well, anyway, Jeff, if you want pity, you came to the wrong place, because now you're
the recruiting animal.
You know, one more thing about my buddy Jeff P. Davidson. Okay, who's making that noise? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. No noise.
Sounds like dishes being done.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Maybe she calls back all the time just to hassle me. I don't know. But one more thing. You know, none of the stuff that is on the LinkedIn page of that girl, it's not so bad. It just says that she's an intern and she sent me a nasty letter. You know what? I'm going to cut somebody off or I'm going to hang up myself and call back. Is that me? Is that my phone?
No, I think that's somebody trying to call in, Animal.
Yeah, I don't think that's you.
Okay. Let's get a roll call here. There's not that many people called in, maybe because Jerry's not here. Is somebody talking and it sounds like they're at the bottom of a swimming pool? That's me, isn't it? That's me. Rayanne, you take over. I'm going to call back in, okay?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Just do a roll call. Ask people who are here. Bye-bye.
All right, I'll do a roll call. Thank you. Well, Jerry's not here, so who's here?
Hey, Rayanne, it's
Jeff. Webb?
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff Webb. How are you?
Good.
I'm here.
I don't think it's Animal because it's still going on, huh?
No, it's somebody who's on Skype or something like that, I think.
Hey, Rayanne. Wow. Dave Madison here.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. And was that Mo? Is that
Mo
here?
Yeah.
Hi, Maureen. Hi.
Hey, Maureen.
Hey, hi.
Hey, Dave.
The Animal's going to go ballistic when he gets back on and hears that still going on. We're going to have to calm him down.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but if somebody's on Skype or on the speakerphone or something, it's not...
Thank you.
It's not me. I'm on a handset.
Okay. Is it still making that noise?
Yeah, somebody's called in on Skype, Animal, I think. And
you know what? That's 044-7296. That show's wrecked already. Listen, buddy, is that Martin Lee? Let me ask first.
It is.
Martin? So you talk.
Yeah.
Okay, I can hear you. Let me just
run
through the rules.
I'm off speakerphone now.
Okay.
Forgive me, I'm a virgin.
Okay, well, you know, that's a pretty good speakerphone, okay? No sex on the show. Okay.
I could hear you in the next street.
Okay, well, I hope it didn't come out garbled because I was talking. I want that guy Jeff to hear my message. Anyway, there was no real bad stuff, but her, if you search her name under Google, it's all stuff from my Twitter postings and my blog postings, but it's not bad. The guy's accusing me of wrecking her career. You know, she's 19. Now he's worried about her, and he's blaming it on me. I'm wrecking her career. In the meantime, he had her sending out hostile emails to innocent people. I'm supposed to roll over. I'm mentally ill because I'm reacting to what he said. That's terrible, isn't it? Anybody disagree with me?
Yes.
No.
Who's yes? Who said yes?
David Manister.
Oh, Dave Manister. I don't want to hear from you, the kingfish of ERE. Anyway,
Hello.
Let's do a little roll call here and see who's here. 724, is that Dave Manister?
No. 718 is Dave Manister.
Okay. Jeff Peterson, he's our expert. He's got an article on location-based recruiting. That's what we're going to start off with. 603, who are you?
Howdy. This is Nick Palmer.
Dr. Nick, the Spong, S-P-O-N-N-G. Jeff Peterson. You know what? I'm not going to spell Peterson for the people. Everybody knows you. 044, that's Martin Lee from Zubed, Z or Z for you guys, Zubed.com. I don't know anything about it. Bill Borman brought him here, and we're going to find out in a minute. Area code 513, Maureen Sherb, the queen bee of telephone sourcing. Am I right?
I'm here.
And she started all my problems with Jeff, but she's innocent, okay?
Until proven guilty.
Area code 919, who's that?
919.
Don't say. I don't care. Area code 416, that's Jeff. I thought it was JD, but it's Jeff Webb, the radical recruit. Am I right?
I am here, Animal.
Nice to have you. He's doing a lot of location-based recruiting, too, he says. 949,
that's
who's that?
Rayanne.
That's Rayanne from Broadbean. Ray
That's
underscore
it.
R-A-Y underscore A-N-N-E. Okay, 718, we're almost done. 718, who's that? That's Dave Manister, the Kingfish of ERE. Stay on mute. You don't have to come back in. I don't want to hear what you have to say.
You just
okay.
Don't like it when people disagree with you.
That's okay. What did I do wrong?
You didn't do anything wrong. I got a similar email because Maureen had posted the same thing on our site.
Uh huh.
And when I looked at it, I mean, the guy was kind of a jerk. The email was a terrible email. It was 2 years late, and it was angry about something that happened 2 years ago, which is just kind of dumb. But it was also actually material that he had wrote and copyrighted material that was posted somewhere, you know, without his authorization. So he was actually, I think he was right about the facts of it and just really wrong about the way he went about it.
Okay. I didn't disagree with you about that. We're not disagreeing about that. But he's blaming me when I told him, I won't go on with it, I talked about it last week. Thank you, Dave. I don't disagree with you. Okay. Area code 317. Is that the work farce?
No, it's Andy Gregory.
Andy Gregory, CGP. Okay, we're ready to go. Location-based recruiting. Jeff, I'm going to quote something that Jeff Peterson. It's jeffpeterson.com. GEOFFPETERSON.com. Just in case anyone's interested, he was a guest on the show before. He says the use of location-based services is an emerging trend being adopted today on mobile devices. These services want to use your current location to update you on local events. Okay, so they send you messages based on where you are. What does this mean for recruiting? It's the closest thing to real-time recruiting we've seen yet. It allows several ways to discover new talent and pinpoint exactly where they are at a given moment. Who cares? That's what I say. But he finishes off his intro. This is a big-time game changer for the entire recruiting industry. I don't get it, Jeff. You prove it to me.
All right, sure. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What, do you want to cop out now? He's going to pretend we can't hear him. He's going to pretend we can't hear him so he doesn't have to say anything. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm good. Hey, are you using Foursquare, Animal? What are they using up in Canada? Are you using that?
No, I know Foursquare. Everything's North American now. There's nothing Canadian.
There you go.
We own you guys, right?
Oh.
Pretty well, always. It's always been like
that.
Wow.
Right.
Them's fighting words.
Well, hey, so there's all sorts of services. I mean, Foursquare is one example. There's Looped. There's Google Latitude. I mean, all
what
these.
What about this guy? You mentioned Zubed in your article as well, right?
You're listing services, not answering a question.
Well,
okay,
but he was just starting off. He's warming up. Give him a break.
So you connect to people on these different services. You can do two things. You can update people on where you are. In turn, they can update you on where they are at any given moment. So, the where I struck a nerve with that article is I said to people that, hey, you can literally go to someone's parking lot. Let's say Microsoft, your big competitor, and you want developers from Microsoft. You can literally go to Microsoft parking lot, check into the Microsoft building from the parking lot, let everybody know, hey, I'm in the parking lot. I'm having an impromptu job fair. I'm in the silver BMW. Come find me.
You know who's going to first people are going to come and find you? The security guard.
Yes, security is going to escort you off the property.
There's I got a good example. Hold on. There's this company in New York. Let me pull up my example here. I wanted to talk about this company here I found. There's this company called Treats Truck in New York right now. So they're a mobile food company, you know, like a little mobile food shack, you know, that
like
drives around.
Like a coffee truck? A coffee truck?
Yeah,
is that the old word for it? Okay. Honk, honk. Hey, factory guys, come on out.
So they're driving around New York updating people in real time on Twitter. Hey, we're on the corner of, you know, 1st and 2nd, whatever street. You know, come find us for a special deal. They're updating Twitter. They're updating Foursquare. They're updating
all
these
services. We established last week that what these sandwich shops do is different from what the recruiters do, okay? We're asking people to take a new job, not buy a sandwich.
Oh, sure. But, I mean, you don't hear a lot of it with recruiters out there, but if, for instance, Amy Beth Hale is a good example. I can just give you just a quick example. She's very good at updating her network on where she is at any given moment. She's always encouraging people to reach out and introduce themselves to her. And she's always having good success with finding new people that way. And she does that with Foursquare in particular.
She has good success finding new people that way. Really?
Sure.
I'd love to hear some stories. You know what I think of when I think of Foursquare? My favorite Twitter posting from last year came from Rich Recruiter. I'm at such and such meat store looking at meat. Right? Okay, Mr. Zubed, Martin Lee, I'll come back to Jeff Peterson. I wanted him to kick it off. Do you have anything to add to that at this point? Before you talk about your stuff, just in general.
Yeah, okay. I just think if you look at the candidate side, the importance of location is so important. You know, everyone's got relationships, family, and stuff around a locality. And just by being able to identify a candidate and being able to identify a job just makes the recruiter's life so much easier, because it's so much easier to sell the job to that candidate because of those reasons.
Yeah, I haven't got a clue what you mean, so can you give us an example of what you're talking about? Also, I think recruiting in England might be a little different than recruiting here in North America.
Well, maybe, but I'm going to kind of go into our stuff, and no
okay.
apologies for
okay,
that.
Okay, now,
but,
so
but
spell it out. No apologies. I want people to know about your stuff. Jeff Peterson and Radical
okay.
Recruit, we'll get to you. But spell it out for people. Use the Z, because there's mostly Americans here.
All right. Well, it's Zoobed, not Zubed, by the way. And
okay, yeah,
if you want to have
what?
A look at
if you
at,
say Zoobed, if you say Zoobed as opposed to Zubed, which is easier for people to understand? Come on. Go ahead.
Okay. Go Zubed.
Okay.
So one of the first bits of work we did was just slinging candidates onto a map and just looking at where the jobs are and where candidates are was for
which candidates?
A big global.
You're from your own database? Are you a recruiter?
No. Yeah, we have a recruitment agency of about 600,000 IT contractors. So that was
okay.
the first CVs we put onto a map.
Uh-huh.
And we went to market with that, and we went to companies, and they said, well, that's fine, but we've got 5 million CVs around the world. But the practical examples of where location comes in is, say, a company in the UK. It can be any location anywhere. Of what actually happens in reality when there's a requirement comes into a company, and this particular is an IT vendor, hardware and software vendor. So they get a call Thursday afternoon, we need some kit installing on a Monday afternoon, Monday morning, what do? So typically what they would do is send previous people who'd done the job before, you know, their known quantities and all the rest of it. Location has got nothing to do with it. And it's only when you actually look on a map where are your candidates and where are your customers, and then you start overlaying other things like who are your technology partners, who are the people that came second in an interview, whose CV you've kept hold of, and all of this data.
Let me interrupt you for a second.
CVs.
Let me interrupt. When you go to LinkedIn or any database,
yeah.
you know, geography is one of the things you always search. Are you saying that people never took it into account in the past? Yes or no?
I'm saying no. I'm saying companies don't have a system where they can look and see where their CVs are and where their customers are. You might be able to find it on LinkedIn, but when it's that HR person picking up the phone, I've got to get a team down there for Monday, it's they go into panic mode and they just send the people that did a good job last time. And
let me just get it down. So you're saying these ATS, these applicant tracking systems, the HR people have in their own companies, they've never had a field for searching geography. Yes or no?
Yes, but they don't have all of the CVs. They don't have every single profile, and they don't include things like technology partners. And the other thing they don't do is they don't build in how much does it cost to send this person to that location.
Is he right? Let me just ask you, does anybody, any of these recruiting location-based guys, Jeff or Radical Recruit, is he right that, you know, we don't search people now based on geography?
Well, I think Animal, he's right that we don't kind of map people out, so we don't sit there and say, okay, oftentimes we are searching by skill set, right, and geography is a secondary kind of a secondary parameter that we're searching on.
Which is what it should be, don't you think?
Yeah, it's just it's easier sometimes if you have to fill a job order that, you know, you've got a client and they're calling and they're saying, as he said, 60 contractors tomorrow morning. It's easier to call the people who are within a few blocks who have the skill set than the people who are
across town. Yeah, hold on. Well, location, like when I think about this location-based recruiting, I think about Foursquare with these guys who are telling people all the time, I'm at Starbucks, I'm at the variety store, I'm having a beer here. So these guys are always online, and you find them by, you know, sending out a message through Foursquare. I don't know. I really don't get it. What did you call in to say? What did you want? What's your big message about location-based recruiting?
Are you talking to me, Animal?
Yeah, I'm talking
okay.
to you.
All right. No, I mean, I've been using it for sourcing primarily. I've been using applications on my I have a Google Android phone, so I've been using the Android phone. Been using applications like Layer, So Layar is L-A-Y-A-R. And it basically, it's an augmented reality browser which uses the camera phone.
Hold on 1 second. Someone got their email going and they're getting like one every second. Is that you?
That's not me, no.
Someone turn off your sound. Come on, do me a favor. You must know that's coming on the radio. Sorry, Jeff. Go ahead.
Okay.
What's an enhanced reality browser or whatever you said?
An augmented reality browser uses the camera's phone, the phone's camera, and it takes a picture of the picture of where you are, and it shows you on that picture what you're looking at. So if somebody's written text about a building, it'll show you what they've written. And that's not really important. The new feature for Layar is it'll show you who's tweeting nearby. So if I know, for instance, that I'm in an area, you know, downtown, and I'm after some finance people, and I can follow the tweets nearby. If I see a tweet that says, you know, hey, I'm checking out finance account. It doesn't matter if they're talking about Java, whatever. I can look at that person and find out exactly where they are following. Layar will basically find their location and show me exactly where they are. So if I want to go meet with them, you know, I can ping them and say, hey, I'm just around the corner. I see you at Starbucks. You know, can I come over and have a coffee with you? I'd like to talk to you about an opportunity. So
let me bounce that off some of the people who haven't said they're experts. Rand, do you understand that?
No.
Well, ask them a question.
Okay.
Maureen, you want to ask? Somebody want to ask these guys a question? I don't get it. I don't care who's talking. Hey, go ahead.
Well, I'm wondering. You know, I saw somebody tweet yesterday. He was somewhere doing something. So I tweeted to him. I said, "Do you meet people this way?" And he said a couple times he's met people that way.
You know,
it sounds like
the old radio shows that used to say, "Hey, we're going to be on the corner of Fifth and Avenue. If you want a T-shirt, come on down. We'll give you a new T-shirt." My question is, do people say, well, does that mean you're not at home so we can go and steal your flat-screen TV? And, you know, it seems like a sharing a little bit too much. And I'm open, completely open. My Facebook is not private. I don't have a lot of privacy settings on anything. But it just seems a bit – it sounds like what Dave Perry used to do, set up in a corner and just grab people as they were walking past. Hey, you want a job?
Okay, hold on. Let's go to Jeff Peterson again. Jeff, wake up.
Yeah.
Still there? Okay. So we've talked to Martin Lee, who's built a company around this location stuff, and Radical Recruit, who's using it to recruit. They're talking about two different things, first of all, aren't they? One's an enhancement of an ATS, and the other is like crowdsourcing or something like that. Am I right?
Okay, yeah, everyone's got
okay,
a
yeah, listen, you're on a radio show.
Wow.
Speak up.
Hello.
Spit it out.
Wow, okay.
What are you looking for there? I mean, do you not understand? Like,
No, I don't get it at all. First of all, Zubed. Is Zubed what you were talking about, or Zubed? Z-U-B-E-D?
I know them, but I haven't used them.
Okay, so what's your idea about them? Because we're starting off with your article. Is that what you were talking about, or is that something different?
I think it's something a little different.
Okay.
I mean, you might want to get his take on it. I mean,
Martin Lee, you're really writing for HR, corporate HR people. You're producing it for corporate HR people, especially staffing people who need to pick up people very quickly, right?
That's it, yeah. We're talking two different things here. We're talking I'm not talking about wandering around streets with my phone and trying to hijack people. We're talking about a system here that recognizes where people are and the benefits of candidates knowing that there's jobs close to them, the fact that they're a happier candidate. But we're also looking at the whole location subject. We're looking at things like within recruiting. You know, it's not just a case of a guy looking at a job and it's interesting because it's in the right location. We're looking at all the other location things about crime, schools, and everything else as well. So but we're building something which has got lots of other bits on top, but all about location, what is going on in an area, things that people are interested in.
So if we're not inside a corporation, you're not doing a demo for us, is there any way we could figure out what you do just by going to your website?
There's a good video on YouTube actually, which is if you put Zoobed, Z-U-B-E-D, and Helix, H-E-L-I-X, that talks about how we link candidates to jobs using semantic search based on location. And we've the latest bit of that is how we, once we've got leftover candidates, if you like, how we look at other jobs on the internet based on location for those leftover candidates. So it's kind of
a rolling
recruitment
thing. I got to ask you a question. Okay, so they can put Zoobed and Helix into a search on YouTube, and they'll find an introduction.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what? How did you come up with a stupid name like Zoobed? How come we can't just say, go to, you know, xyz.com and you'll see the how'd you come up with that name? I just want to know.
Well, do you really want to know?
Yeah. You think I'm pretending?
Well, you know, I said we had a recruitment agency about 5 years ago. We were victims of another very big recruitment agency who came in and took our business overnight. So that we posted zoobedjobs.com as a free recruitment portal for job seekers just to find jobs and scraping of companies' websites.
Yeah.
And Zoobed has come up. Zoobed is Australian slang for being pissed off.
But you're in England, right?
Yeah, but it was a good name.
Yeah, well, if you're Australian...
no matter how you say it.
Okay. Well, okay. Anything else? You know, your sound isn't that good. Is there anything else we should know about you? You want to make a big statement here on the Recruiting Animal Show before we go back to the crowdsourcing guys and then move on?
No, just have a look at the video. It can do a lot more justice than me on a bad line.
How come you don't have a simple URL? It costs $10 that you could pass on to us that links to the video so everybody can understand. That's my advice to you.
We do.
Okay, well, give me the simple one.
Zoobed.com.
Okay, if they go to Zoobed.com, they can find that video. Okay, great. Now, you can stay on for the rest of the show. You can be a great guest. Contribute, but as far as the focus on Zoom, I think I'm done for that. Okay?
Hey, thanks for that.
You're welcome to stay. Thank you for calling
in.
I really appreciate you calling in on short notice. Of course, but I have to tell you, Bill always is on another wavelength than I am, okay? That's all.
Well, he's got a tank outside his house.
He's got what?
A tank.
A trank? I don't know what that is. Okay?
No, like a rolling tank.
A military tank.
Oh, okay.
I went and met Bill, and he's got a tank outside his house, so you don't have to tell me.
Okay, so, yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, that he's an oddball. Okay, thanks. Thanks very much. Mark Lee from Zoom. Let's hear it. Thank you. Okay, is there anything else we have to discuss about location-based recruiting, radical recruiting, or anything else?
What if you have a tank in front of his house?
I don't know.
You're going to let that go?
No one knows, Dave.
Is it his tank?
There is a question from Twitter.
Yeah, okay, what is it?
It's about how the services use and provide specific locations, and Job Board Doctor says it sounds a lot like stalking. Yes, it is a lot like stalking, but it's public stalking. People are freely putting out the information
that,
you know, they're
recruiting.
Yeah, they're putting out specifically and checking in at specific locations, and yeah, you can go down and go to that specific location as well and walk through the door. As for the security of posting such clearly disseminated location and concerns about privacy and security, I would suggest that you get a nice big dog to leave at home. I have 13 of them, and it works really well.
You have 13 dogs?
Wow.
I do.
Oh, wow. Okay. He lives in the middle. He lives in the woods. You know, okay, I'll just say, so what is I'm looking here. Resume writer says that location-based tech is the next big thing in all industries. I don't understand. Foursquare folks are receptive to meeting folks. Don't say folks to me, okay? Live. If you don't use it, don't get it. I don't know. Yeah, she can come on. Foursquare, let them call in right now. Okay, let me ask Jeff, Radical Recruit. Is this helping you in any way, aside from your normal sourcing, you know, walking down to Bay and King, like that's our financial district, and saying, hey, I'm here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, candidates will come and find you. But to Jeff Peterson's point, I mean, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you go into Foursquare and you check in at, you know, Microsoft headquarters out in Mississauga here in Toronto, you can also see who else has checked into that location. Am I correct or not?
No, you're correct. Yeah, you'll see who's been there that day or at that moment or
12 other recruiters. the whole parking lot is a bunch of like vultures waiting there, right?
Well, I mean, but as you know, recruiters don't use this yet, Animal. So you don't. So if you're early adopting and you go to Microsoft headquarters, you're going to see a lot of developers checked in there, and then
they're
going to
use.
They
use it.
Your friend.
Yeah.
Heck yeah! My buddies are updating on Facebook and Twitter all the time. Checked in at Building 34, Seattle. You know, yeah, they do it all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you go there, you friend them, and then, you know, you find out where they're, you know, you know where they're going because they are seriously checking in everywhere they go. They go to Starbucks, they're checking in. They go to the park, they're checking in.
It's
the only
drawback
of Foursquare is it lacks a lot of this. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Who was talking? No. What guy was talking? Who was that? Jeff Peterson?
That's Jeff Peterson. I was just going to say the only thing about Foursquare is it does lack a lot of the social features. I mean, yeah, you can ping each other and ping the network and let everybody know where you are and know where everybody else is, but it doesn't really have that Twitter feature where you can kind of, you know, go back to people. It's not as good.
Well, you can shout, right, though, Jeff? You can shout on Foursquare.
I don't think it's quite there yet with, you know, with the whole social features. It's not,
I agree.
Not as teed up like Twitter is. And it's funny when I hear people, just the other day I got into an argument with somebody on Twitter, in a little debate about that Twitter isn't good for finding job seekers. And it's not smart to recruit people that are looking for a job on Twitter. And I laugh because I had these same conversations with people in the past about LinkedIn. You know, it's like, you know, some of these people are in the Stone Age, in my opinion. You know, if you're going to be on Twitter and you're a recruiter, why aren't you using it to recruit people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, I'll reveal it, John Sumser was the guest on my second show. And at the time, he said, that was 3 years ago, exactly 3 years ago, he said, you won't find any good people on LinkedIn. Well, you were already finding good people on LinkedIn. Well, he's changed his tune since then, I'll say on his behalf. Okay, go ahead, Maria.
I was just going to say that I think that this is indicative of the changes that real-time technology, real-time search is going to have on and affect our business, the recruiting industry, in any business, really. You're going to be able to keep up instantaneously with those that are around you. And
what does that mean? I don't get it at all. Like, well, what does that mean? Like, well, who cares?
Well, for somebody who participates so often on Twitter, I would think that you would care. I mean, this is what's happening to business as a whole.
You know what? I just don't see. You know, let's move on.
I wonder about the sustainability. I wonder about the sustainability. I mean, they do it. They, you know, like Jeff says, they come on, they check in when they're here, when they're there, when they're there. But do they get tired of doing that? You know, I mean, is it something that they're going to continue to do?
Not if it's a change in their behavior,
You know what? In the future, this is only going to work if people don't have to check in and it automatically there's a tracking device on them.
There you go. Now,
and
who's
you're
developing
in the area.
That?
Yeah, you're in the area, and you can always find out who's near you.
I think
go ahead, Jeff. Jeff, Radical Recruit.
Okay, I was just going to say that I think that what's going to happen is that the people like Foursquare are going to come up with reasons for people to check in because they want to keep that going, right? So what they're rolling out right now is things like if you check into, if you check in at down at Bay & King, there will be three different vendors who will, you know, send you a message saying, hey, we've got a special on today. You know, we've got 25% off because you checked in near us on Foursquare. Come on over and show them this coupon on your phone. So, you know, they're going towards that kind of a model. So I think Foursquare will continue.
Well, what are we going to say? I'll rewrite your resume if you meet me down at Starbucks in the next 10 minutes.
Who cares? I mean,
look, C14, a C14 ISM. That's a great Twitter name, isn't it? C14 ISM. But he had a good idea. He says, this should be called Right Place, Right Time Recruiting. I kind of like that, don't you?
Yeah,
I like that.
Okay, I want to hear the voice of reason before I move on. Dave Manister, what do you think? Still there, Sleepy?
Still there, muted out.
Okay.
I think it has potential. I think this is the kind of thing that works really well on, or could work, I wouldn't say really well yet, but on a one-off level, I think institutionalizing it for big companies is pretty possible. Like, I don't see how this is going to help big companies hire in volume.
Yeah, I don't even see how it's going to help third-party recruiters unless you know, like, there's a financial district in your city and you go hang around there during the day. That kind of – you might.
You're rolling dice. you're rolling dice in any case. Where this is going to be most effective and where I've seen it play out both personally and professionally in the recruiting industry is when you go to a concentrated area and you have a density of users. So, for example, a couple of the recruiters down at South by Southwest, you know, checking in with all the different geeks and developers down there. Very good concentration, very good response and adoption of the platform and the techniques. That was a really easy place and a occurrence to execute these types of strategies. And there were several large companies that had representatives there doing just that. Now, as for going down to, you know, the corner of Bay, you know, yeah, you're it's right time, right place, and roll of the dice. It's chance if you're going to catch somebody.
Well, kind of interesting. Okay, that's kind of interesting,
isn't it? I
yeah,
mean, if
no,
somebody picks up an email
no,
or if they have
no,
to be
if
on
you're
Twitter.
If you call Maureen and say, look, I'm looking for, you know, SharePoint analysts or whatever like that, she's going to get a big list of companies from Hoover's or wherever and call in those companies and find
yeah,
out who works there for
to
you.
Be taking your call that day, Animal. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
It's
and I don't disagree
like
with
anything
that.
Else.
Sorry, Ryan. I was just going to say, I don't disagree with Animal either, but I think, you know, you'd be smart about it, right? I mean, don't go and check in at the Starbucks at Bay King necessarily, but if you're after developers, go and check in at Microsoft Canada's headquarters.
Okay, but
there.
The closer,
I mean,
it comes back again. Like, yeah, but Jeff Peterson, he's a showman, I guess. Even though he's quiet when he comes on my show, he says this is a big-time game changer for the entire recruiting industry. Nothing I've heard today agrees with that. Radical
yeah,
recruit?
I'd want to see the first couple of hires come out of it, and then we could start talking about being a game changer.
Yeah. Jerry would say how many hires per year, okay?
Yeah.
That's what he would say if he was here.
He would want analytics.
Jeff
right
Peterson,
now.
Your last chance to rebut before I move on to other topics. Still
yeah,
there?
Hey, I'm just starting to. I'm
yeah,
starting
you know what?
To
when you call in the show, try to pay attention, okay?
I have to figure out if I have you on mute or not myself.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm just starting to use these things myself. I mean, I'm getting you know more acquainted with all these things over the past year. So yeah, I mean,
okay.
I
have to thank you for writing the article. Thank you for writing. And here's something: if you put location-based recruiting into Google, Jeff's article comes up in the first position. So congratulations on that too. Maybe good branding for you. Okay. Now here's a more interesting topic. Highly sensitive recruiters. Should I discuss that or the Rumsfeld doctrine of recruiting? Jeff, you pick the next topic. You don't have to stick around, but if you want to, go ahead. Jeff?
Are you talking to Jeff Webb or Jeff
no,
Peterson?
He's
radical recruit. Jeff Webb is radical recruit. Come on, you guys are wrecking my show. I'll pick the next topic, okay? The Rumsfeld doctrine of recruiting. Donald Rumsfeld is, for those who don't read the papers or, you know, they're too young, he used to be the Secretary of Defense, right, in the United States, and he was in charge of the invasion of Iraq and the invasion of Afghanistan. And he has an idea that the armies should be light and small because they've got all this technology, you know, supporting them. And to go in Afghanistan, apparently they put 200 guys on horseback. They went and identified the Taliban, and then they called in strikes. So they got all this technology supporting them. When you know, an individual soldier with all the machinery or electronics they've got working for them now is 10 times as powerful as a soldier was in the past. So you don't need as many of them. You can have a small army with lots of support. And anyway, E.W. Monster wrote an article that reminded me about this. He says that the recruiting profession is 50% smaller now than 18 months ago. He got that from John Sumser. I don't know if it's true. I'm going to say it's reasonable. It's a lot smaller.
I think it's at least at 50%.
Smaller. And they're talking about corporate recruiters especially. It's a lot smaller than it was before the recession. He said even when the recession ends, those guys aren't going to be hired back because companies just see them as overhead. And the thing is, they're going to be doing more hiring with these small recruiting teams, and they're going to have a dramatic increase in the number of requisitions they have to be handled. So the thing is, they hope that the technology is going to replace the manpower, and he believes that too. He calls it the EW monster doctrine of recruiting or whatever. Who's doing that, okay? So number one, he thinks sorcerers, from what I gather, sorcerers are headed for the dustbin of history. Even internet sourcers. He said, because with this semantic search now, you don't need guys who understand how to write these complicated Boolean strings, right? And also, he said something I didn't understand. He said the internet sourcers are focused on transactional recruiting rather than strategic talent acquisition in management. I don't understand that, he said, but companies are less concerned about making a hire and more concerned about making the right hire. That doesn't make sense to me. But what he says, man, these guys are gone. Also, another reason for the end of the sourcers is that Monster can place your ad on all the places where the passive candidates hang out. So they don't need you going to generate names for them. They know where they are electronically, right? So this is it. You've got Monster supplying a lot of this stuff. He also says something else. Should I go on or should I ask for feedback at this point?
Feedback.
Okay, who wants to talk?
I would like to address. I would like to address the transactional versus strategic.
Okay.
What you all do is strategic. What my computer systems do is transactional. Having people go and plug a search string into CareerBuilder and Monster and Dice and see what pops back out is transactional. Making connections with the right people in the right places, that's strategic. And that's what's going away. That transactional stuff is very, very valueless to the bottom line. And it can be totally automated.
I don't understand anything you're saying.
you got to use job boards to understand what you say, and you got to use resume databases in bulk. You know, if you're not searching three or four resume databases, none of that will make sense to you.
Jeff Webb, do you understand him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, basically, what he's saying is that you know what we do as recruiters, making connections and talking to people, that is strategic, right? I mean, putting a search string in is very tactical, but you know I would also argue that that's not what sourcers do. I mean, I think that's a very limited view.
No, even if you're putting a search string in and you're finding people, first of all, you're trying to fill a specific position most of the time. If that's transactional and that's tactical, one off, that's the focus. If you're trying to build a talent pool and relationships for the future, hey, if you've got an internet sourcer, you know, generating names. That's those are the people you're going to use for your talent pool. What's
right.
Not strategic about that?
I agree with you.
So also think about where the employment industry is going in terms of jobs going more towards service-oriented positions. So these types of positions, frankly, your skills are overkill for them. So if I set up a search and pull back 10,000 candidates a night to fill positions for a national retail chain, I'm doing them much more efficient stuff. And what you're going to need to go work on is go work on all of their corporate and leadership and critical or strategic, in this case, positions. All the people working in the stores and doing the line work, all that stuff, all automated. Don't need people anymore.
Okay. Now, resume strategy says, if there's passive, well, that is not a question for you really, but you made an interesting point. If there's passive candidates, are they going to look at the Monster ad even if it's on the side of the page where they're hanging out? I don't know. You know, she says, do you look at the ads? No, I don't. But I don't know about other people. So that's a question for EW Monster to answer. Does anybody else want to talk about that? I think she might be right. You know, putting an ad on a page.
I agree with what she's saying as well. I think that, you know, if somebody's not picking up the phone and calling you, that, you know, I don't think you're – but listen, Eric is selling Monster services, right? And so it's kind of – it's too bad he's trying to do it, you know, by saying that an entire profession is going away. But that's the purpose of what he's – that's why he's writing. So.
Okay, you're saying you have to look at the biases. It's not really
–
what he's talking about is not really the future of recruiting, okay?
Right.
He said something else that's interesting, though. Thanks, Dr. Nick Spong, S-P-O-N-N-G, on Twitter, longtime online friend. He also says, he points to an article, he says that for more strategic relationship building with people in your – he said something interesting. I always note that on these social networks, you know, they can have 15,000 members or 20,000 members, but, you know, 90% of them – see, here's the thing. This guy says – the EW Monsters source says that 90% of them are lurkers. And then 1% are very active. They're posting stuff. And the other 9%, occasionally they comment. Sometimes they'll post something. I would say that 90% are not even coming to the site. And then, you know, so you've got a you got a very small group that is, you know, doing anything. But he says that, that the fact that most of the people who come are just reading, they're lurkers, he said that really allows a recruiter to become center stage on the industry that he or she is interested in, because they can write articles, and the articles don't even have to be that great. All they have to do is be good enough to trigger conversation among the readers, and that they can promote their brand, their personal brand, or he's more interested in their company brand. So social media offers a fantastic way for companies to promote themselves to their talent pools, you know, if they have this cadre of dedicated Bolshevik-style recruiters. Any interest in that? I find that kind of interesting. No? Okay. Okay, that's it for that. Okay, so I'm going to move on. Does anybody else want to say something?
I think I'd agree with your last point, actually, Animal.
Hey, Bill
Borman. Bill,
yeah,
how are you doing? How are you doing? Sorry I was late to the show. Good to talk to you, Jeff, and everybody else. I would agree with you in terms of the lurker element, that really no more than 5% of any community contributes to it, and probably 50 to 60% don't visit at all. They're just members for whatever reason. And it is a great opportunity for recruiters. I think we see that time and time again of people who can get well known quickly by blogging or commentating, and that's why it's important for recruiters to do that, but not necessarily purely in recruiter groups, more so in the trades they're recruiting in.
Well,
I think that everyone's avoiding the real question here.
What's that?
Bill, why is there a tank on your front lawn?
I have a tank outside my house. I have a neighbor who collects tanks and various cars, and he's run out of space
Lord,
and parks it outside the house. So it looks a bit like I'm in the middle of the English countryside. It looks like I'm in Afghanistan or something, but it's very easy to tell people how to get to the house.
Yeah,
I'll send you a Twitter stick later.
It was more exciting when we didn't know. We thought you were a nut, okay? So you might still be, but not for that reason. So I'll just mention something, Bill. You became popular and well-known very quickly, but, you know, to other people who are very active in social media. I don't know if anybody has become done that within a talent pool as opposed to, you know, this highly, you know, this group of people like us who are interested in social media and participate and create content. You know, is there any I think we're doing it for each other rather than any larger group. I might be wrong.
Well, I don't know if that's true, Animal. I mean, when working with Hewitt, we were really interested in Cold Fusion developers, and so I identified the three or four sites that they belong to and wrote a couple of articles on those sites about finding a job as a Cold Fusion developer. And, you know, within days I was getting tons of calls of candidates saying, you know, I'm a Cold Fusion person and I'm interested in what you're saying. So I think it's pretty easy to do.
That's fascinating. I'd never heard that before. So how did you identify the sites? Just from Google?
Just from Google, yeah. I went and said, you know, I did a very basic search on Cold Fusion user groups, and I came out with House of Fusion and, you know, a couple of other sites where a lot of them hang out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and
that and LinkedIn as well is important. Not just the blogs, but the LinkedIn groups. Because
sure.
Joining that LinkedIn group and being active gets you plenty of connections.
And what kind of articles did you write, Jeff? I mean, as a recruiter.
I wrote a couple of posts about, you know, if you're a job seeker in a technology field, some of the things that you should do to make yourself noticed.
Like what?
You know, do you have a LinkedIn profile? Are you
the standard stuff.
Yeah.
The standard stuff.
But I mean, I was the only recruiter on that group doing it, right? So
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So Peggy is the at sales recruiter. She's always writing about medical sales. That's how to get a job in medical sales. So you're going to assume that people who are interested in medical sales are going to be noticing her, even if they're not. The participants in the social media. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty interesting. Okay.
I think the other benefit you get from that once you start to build the right network in terms of reaching outside of the social media group is referrals. And I think referrals are becoming more important, more and more important. The more you get known, the more people contact you who maybe aren't on social media but drop you an email or go visit your website.
Okay, now I got a personal problem, a recruiting problem I want to put out to the group here. But first, why don't you guys do a plug for, since you're both here, True USA. It's next week, right?
True USA is
yeah,
next week.
Yeah, Bill, I just got a message from you, a DM, that says, can I speak on this point? Just speak up. I mean, you've been on enough times. You don't have to play those games with me, okay?
Bill does that, yeah.
Okay, go ahead. True USA.
True USA is in Madison Monday and Tuesday. We've got some pinstripe tickets available, so we've got some frees to anyone listening into the animal show who wants to come. We've got some free tickets left. We're getting a full house. We've got about 30 track leaders, including, of course, Jerry Albright and Steve Levy and lots of people who are known to the show. So it's going to be a very lively event. And if you want to get an idea of what's going on, jump on the fan page on Facebook and you can see the recorded tracks from True London.
Okay, that's TRU USA, right?
That's right.
Yep.
And Bill Borman and Radical Recruit on Twitter are the organizers. You can talk to them. Okay, now here's my problem. I want to know, is Jeff Peterson still here too?
Yeah, I'm here, right here.
Okay, good. You're a recruiter too. I've got a situation, and I'll tell you in sections. It's a confidential search. There's people in the position. There's more than one position. That's what makes it extra complicated. But let's say it's one position. There's a plant manager in that job. You know the company's going to fire him or move him somewhere else. He doesn't know that. So when I'm calling around to other plant managers, I can't tell them the name of the company. Well, how do you handle a search like that? When you want to recruit someone and you can't say the name of the company or you can't really tell them anything that would identify it. And I'm going to complicate that a little. This company actually has 5 plants. They're going to play musical chairs with the plant managers. They're going to move 3 of them around. And they're going to hire 2 new people and fire 2 of those 5. So I don't know where the 2 new people are actually going to go. So when I'm calling people, you know, I can't tell them the name of the company, and I can't tell them anything at all about the target company where they might end up because I don't know it. What would you guys do? Anybody want to comment on that?
So what's
the first thing I'd be looking at establishing is who's interested in moving and what would make them turn their head.
How,
so I think
yeah,
once
okay,
you,
how
once
would
you've
you approach
got,
someone if you can't say something? What would give me the exact words you would use?
Well, the way in which I'd go in is say that is I would go in and open up with saying that I'm a recruiter, that I'm handling a confidential search with an opportunity. What I want to identify is whether they'd be interested in talking about talking at this stage, or you know if they're happy as they are. That would be my opening to just
why
to generate
exactly
a bit.
Exactly what you just did, Animal. I mean, why not say exactly what you just did?
You know what?
I feel
kind of dumb. I mean, I've done it, and the guy says, you know, I said, well, he says, I'm not looking right now. I said, you know what? Most people aren't looking when I call them. But when I talk to them about an opportunity, then they might get interested. He says, you're not talking to me about anything.
One of the questions I ask people at that point, one of the first questions I ask is, what would turn your head? Because I know that I can link in. If I can get, if I can link in, if they start saying to me, oh, well,
if it's
promotion
on the
or
side of town or I mean, yeah, just
yeah.
Ask, what would it take for you to be interested?
Yeah,
you know
and if I can tag something in, I will do. I understand your difficulty though, because it really depends how unusual the industry is as well. Because when you, I think sometimes you can create a bit of excitement with candidates by the covert kind of James Bond nature of it. You know, it's a secret project, but we've identified you as someone we want to share with it. You can create a bit of excitement around it.
You know what? They don't even know me from Adam. And I'm talking about, obviously, searches, places they might have to relocate. So, I don't know. It just seems that when you say it, it's a little easier than it is in practice. Jeff Webb, you want to comment? And then I'll come to you, Rayanne.
I would basically, I think, follow the same sort of thing that Rayanne and Bill are talking about. And I would likely, you know, just say, I want to talk to you about the opportunity. I really can't disclose the location or the company right now, but I think, you know, this might be an opportunity.
Yeah, but I don't know about the opportunity. All I know, it's a plant manager's job. I don't know, like, which plant it's going to be in, so I don't know how many people the person's going to be responsible for. I really don't know anything, right?
Oh, okay. Well,
I think that then just comes down to volume. Sorry, Jeff, I'm cutting you off. I think that comes down to volume. You have to talk to enough people, and some of them
don't
say yes.
You would not feel like an idiot calling a total stranger, because they've never talked to you before, calling a total stranger
that's
and say,
what this
hey.
Job is.
I was about to say, that's part of my job, Animal. I'm supposed to talk to an idiot every day.
Calling total strangers is part of the job.
No, right? But usually you call them up, and you sound credible. You say, I'm working on this position. This is what's involved. Is that going to be something that might
interest
you?
What's wrong with saying to them, hey, listen, I don't have a lot of information right
now.
Is it okay if I call you back when I do have more information for you? Would you be interested in taking my call?
No, you can't give that person information. That's the whole point. You can only give them information once you've got the resume and you found out that they're interested and qualified. At that point, you can't ever call them back out of the blue and give them information, right? So you've got to get that person to give you a lot of private information about themselves, their career, without giving them really anything except saying, you know what, I've got a client who's
you
looking
gotta
for
You've got to use your charm,
people.
Animal. It's all about using that
yeah,
charm.
Yeah, I guess
so. Animal, I'd be really building up the secret element and making it a bit mysterious and exciting.
Now,
I think
now
you can build something.
You got the tank on your thing.
Yeah. I think you can make it look.
A level of intrigue that drives the interest in this position, and then when he starts biting, then you say, look, if before I can move further, before I can share any information with you, I need a resume, I need to make sure that you're qualified, I need to make sure that the employer would be interested in talking with you, so let's take that next step, you know? The only thing I can do right now is trade paper with you, and you're the only one that has paper to trade. So
Jeff Peterson, got a comment? Okay.
I'm sorry. I kind of tuned out.
You know what? Why don't you just hang up? I feel like I'm bugging you. Jeff, have you ever done a confidential search where there's someone in the position so you can't tell your recruits, whom you never talked to ever before, you can't tell them the name of the company?
Yeah. I mean, I try to give them as much information as I can. I mean,
like what?
Size?
Everything except the location and the very obvious things like Fortune 10 company located in Seattle, Washington with this, and this, and they concentrate on software. I mean, that's an obvious one. I mean, you don't want to make things too obvious for them, but you want to entice them enough that they'll be interested in.
So if it's a refrigeration company, the thing is you can't tell them that either because they'll be able to figure out who are the big refrigeration companies, right?
Well, then they've figured it out. You know, then they're smart enough to figure it out.
Your client is going to go nuts.
You have to give them enough information to drive interest. You can't do you want a job? It's
that's about
away
it.
From where you are.
That's about it. That's what I'm complaining about. Bill says that's an intriguing mystery.
No, I think you can create an intriguing mystery. I mean, and use a bit of flattery and brown nosing where you just say, look, I'm looking at your details. I can't give out a lot of information at this stage for these reasons, but what I can tell you is I'm looking at your details and you're exactly the type of person
if you've got somebody on LinkedIn or you've got their resume already, you know their details. If you just know that, you know, they're the production manager at that plant, you don't know much about them, but it looks like they might be. Okay, I appreciate that. I just want to hear exactly, Jeff, you still on? I won't bug you anymore. Oh, there's some more callers on here.
Right here.
Okay, so what would your actual words be? I would just like to hear your exact words.
My exact words?
Yeah, when you called the guy.
Under the gun.
Okay, I'll put you off. Bill's ready with his words. You want to give the – or is that – you're not charging for that anymore, Bill, so why don't you tell us?
Exactly what I'd say to him. I'd really say, look, I've found
your
details.
Borman. Hi, I'm Bill Borman, right?
Yeah, hi, I'm Bill Borman. Reason for the call. I'm a search consultant working on assignment. How easy is it for you to talk right now? Question number one. Right. Okay.
Yep.
Well, what I need to, before we get into things, what I'd like to find out from you is what sort of position would interest you at the moment, so I can make sure I don't waste your time with something.
I'm not looking for a job. Why are you calling me? How'd you get my name?
Well, because I'm working on an assignment that I need to find qualified candidates, and that's all I can tell you right now. And you have to establish a relationship so that this individual you're talking with builds a certain level of trust in you and with you, and we'll take your call in the future, and we'll want to send you a resume.
Let me just come back to Bill, because I like his...
all about your relationship.
Let me just come back to Bill for a second. I want to finish what Bill's saying. I'm going to go into what would be Jerry's time if he was here, but it's not. So, Bill, but what happens when you say, I'd like to find out, you know, what would interest you so I'm not wasting your time? The guy tells you, and then he says, what do you have?
I'll say, what I've got at the moment is a confidential position we're working on. I need to ask one or two questions of you just to qualify that it's going to be right for you, and then we need to start talking about your resume and real detail about what you've done. So, what is it you're going to want from your next job?
Okay, so you would sort of not tell him up front that it's a confidential search. You'd say, I'm working on a search. Before, I don't want to waste your time, so I'm going to ask you some questions about yourself to see if it's worth talking about. And then
yeah.
If the guy says, I want to know about well, you know, what kind of company is it, you say, sorry, can't tell you. Just send me your
resume. I'm going to build a bit of intrigue around that. I'm also going to say, look, because this is a confidential search, there is someone in the post at the moment. That's why I'm looking at you know, I'm looking at what I know of you. You look on the money for me, but let's really, you know, let's find out exactly what you want, and then I'll be open with you and tell you if it's right. Probably the quickest way to do that is if you send me your resume. Then once I'll have a look at it, you know, once I've had a look at it, we can talk some more. What
okay.
I can promise you is
okay.
I'm not going to waste your time.
Look, you know, yeah, if the guy says, look, it's a little too vague for me, then you just kiss him off.
If he says it's too vague for him, I will say that. No, that's unfortunate. What would I can't give information out about the company at this stage, but what would make you comfortable to talk to me? Because if it's not this opportunity, I may have something else because I work in this field.
Okay, yeah, that's assuming you work in that field regularly. Okay, thanks very much, Bill.
No, but whether I do or not, I would probably tell him that.
Okay, that's nice to know. Before we go on, there's a 206 just called in. Does somebody want to say hi? 206? No? Okay. Okay, so
that's
Ray,
one of your 95% lurkers.
Yeah, that's great.
Animal?
Yes?
Uh-huh. It's Martin at Zoob Tea. I haven't signed off.
Oh, I thought you disappeared. Okay, say hi to Bill.
No, I'm here.
He brought you in here. Bill, you know
hi, Bill. Sorry about the tank, by the way.
That's all right.
There's another way of approaching that problem, of course, and I don't know what you guys call it, but we call it retained assignments over here.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of thinking, I've got to now approach people who I can't tell them any details, it's, you know, why don't you approach the client on this sort of assignment and say, look, this is a tricky job. Why don't we break my fee down into thirds? The first third would be my identification of suitable candidates. The second third would be once you've moved the person who you wanted to move to then book the interviews. So I get paid my second third when I book the interviews. And the final third would be on when you place that candidate.
That
so you can actually do your work
uh-huh.
and get paid for it and without, you know, being able to phone people and not give them any details and then produce a shortlist.
You know, my experience, I've done a lot of retained searches as well on sort of as part of a team. And the thing is, though, even if it's a retained search, you wanna make it. And so the point I'm making is that it's not really about getting paid, although it's an interesting issue. It's about how you're going to get people to buy into the search when you really can't tell them anything. So do you have a comment on that, how you would approach someone like that?
Well, I would talk to the client and look at time scales. How long have you got from when they move somebody to when somebody needs to be in? Is there a handover? And you might actually have enough time to do it anyway. So if you can just identify the people and then approach them properly, that might be the best approach all around.
Yeah, in this situation, for instance, they're not going to make a decision about where the people are going to go until they've got their full, you know, they've got five. They have
okay.
to see the potential candidates before they decide where they're going to go. So you're really in a bind. So thanks very much. Do you have anything else to say about that?
You're in an ass-backwards situation.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you. Well, Rayanne,
Can we ask Maureen what she'd do? Because she's the expert phone sourcer. So what would you say, Maureen?
Maureen identifies people. She doesn't recruit them. She just gets the names. She's a name generator. She's a name sourcer.
sometimes you have to do some candidate development to get the names to animals, so.
Well, Maureen, you want to talk?
What would I do?
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Somebody said before you've got to create some intrigue around it and you have to use some charm. I think that's all part of this package. I don't know about the intrigue part, but I would simply be straightforward. I would say, this is Maureen Cherub. I'm working on a confidential search. I can't tell you the name of the company. I know it sounds a bit mysterious, but, you know, and try to break the ice that way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Maureen. Rayanne. Rayanne, still there? No. Okay. Okay, now it's not that time to clam up, but okay, Jeff Webb, want to tell us your exact words, if you can tell it, if you do that, if you're able to do that?
I don't do this a lot, but again, I would probably just say, hi, it's Jeff Webb calling, and I'd ask their name as well. I mean, I know that people haven't really said that, but you know that helps to create some rapport.
Like,
but
what
you
do
know
you
their name.
You already know their name.
Yeah, I know, but it's nice to get to say, hey, you know, who am I speaking to, and get them to say their name. It puts them a little bit more at ease.
That makes you seem stupid. That makes you seem stupid, okay?
I don't think so.
Okay, but go ahead. I don't even understand. Go ahead.
Maybe they use, you know, Mike instead of Michael. He's got a point.
No, maybe he means like they use plant manager. He's got the nose guy's plant manager, but he doesn't know his name. Is that what you mean? Okay.
No, and either case, you know, if somebody's told you their name, they're more at ease. It just seems to work that way.
Okay.
And
so
then
next.
I would say, you know, I have a confidential search. I'm not able to give you the details, but, you know, can I ask you a few questions about what it is that you do there and, you know, what kind of opportunity you're looking for? And if they say, yeah, well, you know, I'm a plant manager, but I'm looking to increase, you know, the number of people I manage, whatever, you can take note of that and say, look, you sound like a really interesting person. I'm really excited to speak to you. Unfortunately, I can't give you more details until I've got your resume in my hands and I'm able to, you know, check that against my client as well. If they're interested in you, I will get back to you right away and I will give you more detail. You know, if they're not interested, then I'll call you back and I'll let you know that it's not going to be a fit. But do you think you can get a resume to me by, you know, 5 o'clock this afternoon?
Okay. 952 just called in. Did you call in to contribute to this conversation, or you just a lurker? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, lurker. Okay, Jeff Peterson. Jeff Peterson, did you want to contribute? I'm not putting you on the spot. I just want to know. You want to talk?
Yeah, I'll talk. I mean, did you want to hear like what I would say? Because I mean,
yeah,
honestly,
teacher. You're a teacher. I mean, you like teaching people, right? Go ahead.
My pitch is that I would find out in the first 10 seconds if this is going to be a fit for me. I think I heard earlier the recruiter didn't want to waste the resources' time. Well, I don't want to waste my time either. So it's a two-way street. I mean, I know I might be cold calling or warm calling somebody, I want to find out right away if they're a fit. You know, I'm going to ask them, are they in the market, and here's the type of a role and position, and the location. The location, you have to tell them the location right away because most people will say,
You can't tell them location in this. You can't tell them location because you're not sure. Could be, one of the number.
You got to give them at least a ballpark.
You don't know.
Yeah, but animals, sure. I mean, is it like southwestern
Northeast.
Ontario, or is it like Canada? Is it
like
Ontario?
Like there's 5 plants in the Midwestern United States. They got 3 people there they want to keep, but they might move them, shuffle them around. They got 2 people they want to fire, but they're not sure where the 2 new people are going to come in. They might not go to the same plants where the two guys are getting fired from, right? They might put some of the other guys move internally there and open up some other positions that, you know, it's a crapshoot. So I agree with
–
go ahead.
Midwestern United States might be enough. You know, to assuage. I mean, they may just, you know, kind of go, okay, well, he said Midwestern United States, I'm Midwestern United States, so far this sounds okay.
So, Jeff Peterson, would you turn down the search if you couldn't give more information?
You know, I mean, I don't like a lot of confidential searches, to be honest. I also don't like working, on the other hand, with confidential candidates where you're emailing them at a confidential email box and you're having only email chatter with somebody that is candidate543@monster.com. I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I mean, sometimes I'll continue, but I mean.
And do you tell people generally the company name, or do you often just keep it quiet?
If it's a confidential search, I can't. If I'm working with a client and I can use their name, I will.
Okay, so if you can't, you always do try to give them some other information, right? That's what it sounds like to
yeah.
me. Like
I try to give as much as I try to give as much as I can and as quickly as I can to figure out if it's worth continuing the dialogue on email or phone or wherever I am.
Uh-huh. And when do you tell them the name of the company?
When the client allows me to, but if for a confidential search.
I see.
But if it if I'm allowed to use the company name, I'll probably use it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else want to contribute to this? Dave Manister, you're not a recruiter. Do you have an opinion? Still here?
I'm still here, but no, not really much to say about it.
Oh, okay. Anybody else want to talk about this one? I got a few. We got some more time. I'll go on. I'm kind of having fun now.
Did I hear you say you couldn't even talk about what industry it's in?
Yeah, you did hear that. You
okay.
can't say the industry because then they're going to be able to identify the company. You can't
really?
Say anything. I said, yeah, you can't say anything. You can't say anything, right?
You can't even say it's in refrigeration.
Yeah, that's what I said.
But surely there's going to be more than one company in refrigeration in the United
yeah,
States.
But, yeah, but how many?
Right.
If you're saying there's, it's a large company with, global, reach and blah, blah, blah.
What if
blah,
you didn't
blah.
Say that and you just said it's in refrigeration?
Okay, well, maybe.
I know,
I guess.
But, yeah, but how are you going to engage them? I understand.
I don't know, with these guys, nobody said, only Jeff said that he wouldn't, Jeff Peterson said, I really wouldn't like to take a search like that. Everybody else seemed to jump on it, and Bill sounded absolutely enthusiastic. So did Rayanne.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that, these guys are very positive, and it's nothing stops them. Okay?
You want the candidate perspective?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Who's this?
This is August. Yeah,
oh, August Cohen. Okay. Welcome
to
the show.
Been tweeting like crazy, and you've been ignoring me.
Yeah, well, it's Maureen's job to read that stuff. Go ahead. Tell me what you want to say.
Well, from someone who used to be recruited quite a bit, and that the angle that I liked that was most believable to me, and if you've got a savvy candidate, they're going to understand the situation. They're going to, want to read, are you just trying to get me into a database or is this a legitimate position? So you do have to have details. But we also understand the competitive nature that typically a company, if they're looking for a key position, doesn't want it out there. They don't want the competition to know what's going on within their industry. So you can expect a little bit of confidentiality. So that never bothered me. But if they were too vague on the details or, were too flattering or too dodgy, that was a turnoff. But if they were just saying, just were up front, apologize, I can't give you more details at this time, or maybe even ask the candidate to sign a confidentiality notice, which it might not hold up, but at least you're showing them maybe you might get enough information that you can decide whether they want to go forward and you want to go forward. But,
okay, how much is too dodgy? How much is too vague? Because we're talking about serious business here. We have to remember, someone is going to be fired and the company doesn't want him to hear it on TV or from his pal or in a bar, okay? It's
yeah, and that's what, don't go down that path. Just say this is a very confidential, sensitive search. They don't want the competition. It's a high-level position because this is going to be a higher-level position that you're going after, and somebody should be mature enough to understand that. I'll be happy to share with you some details, maybe if you can give a salary range or what they're looking for to make it sound like a believable position, and then they're going to engage or not. But, no, you absolutely can't say that, and somebody would understand that you're going to – they're going to eliminate a position. But at this level, we understand that. Most people have had to fire people.
Can you refer to a specific time that you were approached in that way? Do you remember a specific conversation, or are you just speaking in general?
Yeah.
By the way,
I'm looking
at Twitter. Avrilla is saying, I'm too soft today. When I yell too much, they're complaining I yell too much, I'm going to be driven crazy, but go ahead.
Resume writer was asking a question that I think impacts
she's
this discussion.
She's talking to you now. That's her on the phone.
I know, but I think that impacts this discussion. She was asking, are you going to only approach passive candidates? I'm wondering why she's asking that question.
You're going to avoid a lot of the problem of somebody, and I understand the thing with recruiters and companies are hiring you to get passive candidates. So I get that. I don't have an argument with it like a lot of other people do. But if you're calling somebody that's an active looker, you probably is more motivated for a job, you probably don't have to go through as many hoops as you would with a passive candidate.
That's a good point, Animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, where do you find those guys? You have to have access to job boards, I'd say. right?
No, no, Twitter. You know, through your, I mean, Anna, well, you're
on the
you're
internet.
The one who should have the, yeah, you should have the network if you want a candidate that's looking. Just
most of them aren't on LinkedIn,
you know,
for their health.
If you're
Animal,
a niche,
where have
if,
you been?
Like, if you're a niche recruiter, that's true. Harry Joyner told me. I asked Harry about this, the marketing headhunter. He said, look, where the way I work, people either know the company because I can tell them, or they know me. So one way or the other, they're going to, you know, they're going to have something to trust. If you're a generalist recruiter, you know, you're often calling people you've never spoken to, you're never going to speak to again. So they don't know you. You're not a known quantity. It's good to have a website and a LinkedIn profile that is impressive, and some way they can judge you objectively after they've spoken to you, but you're not a known quantity, and if you can't offer information about the company, there's nothing, you know, out there for them to hang on to. So
I don't think that's a real sophisticated candidate, you know, and I know that at that level, if you're looking at a general manager or manager, they all understand how business works, or they should understand how business works, and I don't know that that would be such a roadblock. If you could speak intelligently about the details of the position and make it sound exciting or make the opportunity sound exciting, I think you can overcome that you don't have to reveal
you
the
know,
name.
Are you calling me from a tunnel?
No.
Okay. Is it a cell phone?
Yes.
Okay. I'll forgive you. It's your first call, but you know better next time, okay? You've listened enough times that you should know that. Okay, Havrilla, I'm soft today. Sorry. Does anybody else
want
to talk?
I like this animal. This is good animal.
Okay, does anybody else want to talk? Yeah, because it sounds like your show, Bill. Does anybody else want to talk about this, or should I move on to my final topic of the day?
Final topic.
Okay. Highly sensitive recruiters. Of all people, punk rock HR, Lori Rudiman, the girl who's got a dirty mouth, okay, potty mouth, she posts an article, a link to an article about highly sensitive people, and it says that if you're particularly sensitive to music, caffeine, and other people's emotions, you may have a personality trait called sensory processing sensitivity. Highly sensitive people are better at noticing subtle details in their environments than people without the trait, and they probably make good counselors and recruiters because of their attention to detail. That's the exact opposite of reality. If you're calling strangers and you have to approach them in a way where, you know, I want information from you, but I can't give you any information. And I have to tell you, you know, after I get your information, well, you know what? You're not a match for this job. Sorry, pal. That's not a job for a sensitive person. But all these people were leaving comments, oh, yeah, that's me. Does anybody agree with me or disagree? That's why. And I got a little test here. First, I want to see who agrees. Then I got the test. Nobody. No one wants to call.
No, I think that depends whether you're talking about being a third-party recruiter or a corporate recruiter, actually.
You mean if you're sensitive, don't be a recruiter. Is that what you're saying, Animal?
I think if you need to sell or you need to work volume, then it's not a job for the sensitive.
I don't think any kind of recruiting job is for the sensitive. If someone who's doing selection might be able to notice things if they're in a panel interview and, you know, they don't say too much. 70% of these highly sensitive people are introverts. 30% aren't, but 70% are. And these are the kind of questions you ask. I won't read everything, but the questions, they're yes or no questions. I am easily overwhelmed by strong sensory input. Like, if you answer yes to that, are you going to work out in a recruiting office, even if you're working on your own? I seem to be aware of subtleties in my environment fine. Other people's moods affect me. I tend to be very sensitive to pain. I find myself needing to withdraw during busy days into bed or a darkened room or any place where I can have some privacy and relief from stimulation.
This sounds like you animal to me.
You know what? It does sound like
when,
me.
When you're not wearing your animal hat, this sounds exactly like you.
Oh, there you go. Okay, well, thank you.
It sounds like sorcerer's animal.
No.
Yeah, if you want to find the
science,
the science behind all this stuff is based on what's called mirror neurons,
And it's how empathy and mimicking behavior and how humans learn. You know, we see somebody do something, we can do it. And when it doesn't fire all the same way, it can create interesting empathy abilities or sensitivities in this case. But yeah, if you want to find out the science behind it, go look up mirror neurons. It's really fun stuff.
Okay, thanks. But my point is, you know, this might an internet sorcerer could be a highly sensitive person. A telephone sorcerer could not. You have to have nerves of steel. You got to be like Maureen Sherrip.
You have to be sensitive. You have to be all neurons firing when you're on the phone, because you got to pick up what they're what they're saying,
you
what they're feeling. You have to be able to interpret.
Yeah,
yeah, you have to
understand. You do have to be very sensitive.
Yeah, you do. You have to hear every pause. You have to hear every click, clack of their keyboard and respond exactly how they are handling and responding to you. And if you don't get those subtle cues and pick up on those, you're not going to be successful.
Dr. Nick, I would agree with you and Maureen on that. But at the other hand, if someone gets cranky at you, you really don't care. Maureen can get shoved off, kicked off a phone by one person. She'll call back somebody else sitting beside her the next second. She doesn't give a hoot. She's sensitive to what they think. She can pick it up. She can empathize, but she doesn't sympathize.
I think we're talking about different things here. I think there's a difference between being sensitive to how other people are reacting and adjusting how you're speaking or approaching them towards that, and being a sensitive person, which is getting hurt by things. I'd say you're a recruiter, not a job for a sensitive.
Vulnerable
not a
job
for
sensitive are two different things.
Yeah.
And they're talking about vulnerable
would,
people.
Would
here.
Someone dry my tears?
Yeah. Okay. It's time. You know, somebody's having a personal conversation there. Radical Recruit has to go. We're all going to go. Bill Borman, thank you. Radical Recruit, Jeff
Great
Webb,
show,
thank
Audible.
You. Jeff Peterson, thank you. Great article. You triggered a conversation. Remember what E.W. Monster pointed out? The article doesn't even have to be great. You just have to trigger a conversation. Maureen Sherrip, thank you. Dr. Nick, thank you. Did I not thank anybody? Thank you, resume
Mr.
writer.
Mr. Zoob.
I'll get back to him.
Mr.
Manister, he's the kingfish of ERE, but resume underscore writer August Cohn, thank you for calling in. I hope you call in again. And Zoobed, Martin Lee from Zoobed. It's an Australian term. Can't remember what it means. Zoobed. .com. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.